Well, we're live tonight with Hope and Tavon, our husband and wife team of engineering, research and business professionals. They are American expats who live in Morocco. Tavon has a background as a US Navy technician and energy technology engineer. Hope holds an MBA and has a variety of business management experience in both government and corporate finance, small business management and marketing. And they've been working very hard to educate people on radiation. They're experts in this stuff. And also talking about the 5G risks and radiation risks and what's really in these vaccines. Hope and Tavon, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, Maria. Thanks so much for having us.
Maria, thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. All right. So please talk us through a little bit of what you two have been working on recently, your experience, your research, before we get into your findings and your presentation.
Well, the last 2 years, specifically, we've really been monitoring what we call the COVID agenda and 5G rollout and how they're connected with the latest discoveries of what's going on, what's coming up with the vaccines. But prior to that, we've been working with energy technology.
Yes.
So that's sort of our background and field. You want to speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, so currently this is a longstanding project alongside with the electromagnetic poisoning research is coming up with an alternative generator that will work off grid. That's been a longstanding project for us, and we've been tracking patents and similar technologies along that route as well.
And our own experience with electromagnetic frequencies and being sensitive to EMFs has led us to create our own business around EMF protection products. So this is like our field, what we do. We've also written a book called Forbidden Tech, which is the complete guide to energy, social, and biological technologies that they do not want you to know about. So this is what we've been involved in the last 7 or 8 years now.
So we're really surprised that the way the COVID pandemic and 5G has rolled out, we're really surprised to see it actually happen so fast. And that it parallels with what we wrote about back in 2017.
Yeah. So it's shocking to see that they're actually doing what we said was going to happen back then. Yeah. And we're seeing it being done to the whole population.
I mean, we've been talking about, you know, chipping and, you know, the tracking of human beings for years, but now it's actually unfolding before our very eyes at lightning speed. And you mentioned to me before we went on air that you think that you might have some insight about what actually happened to Australians at the protest in Canberra a couple of weeks ago to do with the EMF as well. So looking forward to getting into that. All right. So please take us through some of your research, Hope and Tavon.
Okay, well, we've put together a slideshow here. So I'm going to go ahead and start sharing my screen. And this slideshow is kind of a distillation of the last 2 years worth of much longer presentations that we've done. We try to bring out the most important parts that we think are relevant right now. And
so we're going to cover how it's in COVID injections, the water supply, food, and chemtrails. EMF radiation activates the nanotech, how that happens. EMF radiation effects on health, and it's the same symptoms as COVID, it turns out, with the symptoms. EMF electrical pollution and the flu A history.
Also, we'll talk about when energy weapons that have been used on the population, what's in the shots, a collection of nanotech findings, big tech tracking and tracing vaxxed individuals and collecting your DNA. And we'll finish off with why am I sick, talking about shedding transmission and how to protect yourself. And with all of our presentations, every single thing we talk about, we have references and documentation and scientific studies in a link in the blog post behind this show. So people can go and look up those studies for themselves and get that information for themselves and make their own informed decisions.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So we'll start with conductive hydrogels because we gathered this information before they started rolling out all of the COVID vaccines. So we're going back a couple of years here because we knew that they were putting this into the shots, but these have been used in all different methods. Mm-hmm. In chemtrails, in food supply, in water. So these are conductive hydrogels, and this is just a little chart showing all the different things that they've been used in. And we're going to talk about some of the characteristics about hydrogel, nanotech characteristics, and studies and patents. So what we're looking at here is a chart put together of just some of the things that these hydrogels are capable of doing.
Okay, so these are some of the applications that the hydrogels are like in the research. One is force clamps, robotic clamps that will forcibly hold synthetic edits into your body structure until they're fused. Again, all of these structures at the microscopic level. We have pylons, robotic towers that are erected that will be used to bring electrical impulses into your body using the structure used to support the nanoparticles injecting their payload into your body. And then we have calipers, a robotic instrument for measuring external and internal dimensions, having two hinged legs resembling a pair of compasses and in turn or outturned points.
Internal locus, anyone? It was right. Just a comment. So this is a collection of the characteristics that we've gleaned from all the different studies that have been written and done on these hydrogels. So nanotech is used in the hydrogels, and it's designed to lock into our DNA to manipulate it, track and trace our bodies by collecting and transmitting our information to a data collection point, monitor our vitals, fuse into our system to allow a means of psychological, biological control by an outside source. And also, they are putting hydrogels in the food supply, and that comes from the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry.
And water, you're saying that they're putting it into water? Because we've been hearing rumors about this forever, but do we actually have the evidence that it's being put into our water?
We do have... for example, there is a contract in the UK where they're using graphene oxide in the main water supply to filter the water supply. And graphene oxide is the main ingredient in hydrogels. That's how hydrogels are made. So we do have that contract, and there's a link to that if you want to see. But if they're doing it in one area, they're doing it in a lot of areas. And it's not supposed to be in anything. This is a known poison that goes back like 160 years. Graphene oxide itself is a known poison. So it shouldn't be there, but they're putting it there anyway.
Yes.
It's only supposed to be used in industrial settings, from what I understand. Definitely not in humans.
Yeah, exactly. But they've been experimenting for quite a long time. Going back to those hydrogels, this is just a list of some of the studies that we were talking about that talk all about how hydrogels are used. There's literally thousands of peer-reviewed studies for all of them. So again, you can check out any of that backup documentation we're talking about in a blog post behind this, so you can check out those studies for yourselves.
Karen Kingston's actually showed us from the patents that hydrogels are being used. So this isn't a secret. We've actually got the evidence. It's not a conspiracy theory. We have the evidence from the patents that they are using hydrogels. Sorry, please go on.
No, I'm glad you brought her up, and I really admire her work. And we've seen a lot of those interviews, and we've referenced her in a lot of our research as well. So I just want to say a shout out to Karen for going through those patents, because that's difficult for most, average people to do that don't understand how to read all of that stuff. So because we do the patents on technology. That's what we read through. So so we're talking about graphene here. This is just a really quick run through about what graphene is for anybody who just doesn't understand how it's made or what it's about.
Yes. So graphene is a single layer of carbon atoms tightly bound in a honeycomb lattice. So it is an allotrope of carbon. Now, according to the official narrative, right, it's discovered in 2004 from when researchers at the University of Manchester isolated a single plane of graphite.
It sounds like potentially what the plan is to turn human beings into, cyborgs or something.
Yes.
Yeah, so quantum computing are these machines that are supposed to be able to do simultaneous calculations, not based on ones and zeros, but based on different kinds of atomic states. And because it's dealing with quantum entanglement, where you have all the logic entangled at the atomic level, you can get all possible solutions at the same time, all in one instant. So this thing is supposed to be able to almost do calculations multidimensionally.
And the part where it fuses with humans, that's where this particular technology really comes into play. And we've been learning a lot more about it. Like the nanotechnology and the things like the Hydra being used in order to fuse and edit and do gene editing. I know that you've covered some of that in the past as well. So that's the level where the quantum computing comes into play to fuse into a human being. It's through our genes and our DNA.
Yeah, I mean, I can go more into that, but let's talk more about the graphene, its physical properties. And so it's stronger than diamond, yet flexible and transparent. Graphene conducts heat and electricity at superconductive efficiencies. So this is at room temperature. Its electronic properties make it highly sensitive to the absorption of molecules such as carbon oxide, NO, NO2, these are nitrogen oxides, and methyl methane type groups. Research has indicated that this sensitivity can be increased to 100-fold with the addition of boron. So basically what I just talked about is how you can take graphene and turn it into graphene oxide by combining it with these molecules. Graphene has made possible the development of electron spin-based quantum computing, as I just mentioned earlier. So many types of graphene components are in development to test various quantum computing qubit models. And the qubit is like the quantum analogy to the bit, which is a one and zero. And water filtration and purification, it's used in that and is highly absorbent and is used in oil spill cleanups only at a fraction of the weight. So graphene in itself is used to absorb, or can be used to absorb oil spill cleanups.
So graphene
The addition of boron makes graphene oxide.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And also we've put together a much more in-depth presentation about graphene oxide in the past. It's, you know, over an hour long, and we go into the history, exactly how it's made. We show the difference between graphene and graphene oxide. So this is just like a little encapsulation of that.
I do want to say, now the thing about graphene and graphene oxide, what's important with regard to water, because our body is mostly water, is graphene repels water. Water would, if you were to create a large graphene sheet, water would bead off of it. Graphene oxide absorbs water. It loves to spread out and
spread out and do its thing.
That's fluid.
That's why it's used in medical applications.
Inside your body, graphene oxide.
So what is graphene oxide?
So graphene oxide is an oxidized form of graphene with an oxygen molecule. And then these other molecules I mentioned earlier are within its structure. And it's attached on the surface, these other molecules, these additional molecules, and they're called functional groups. Now, this graphene oxide, so how does this work with the timeline? Graphene oxide was discovered in 1859, but graphene was supposed to be only discovered in 2000, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's part of our presentation where we talk about how this is really, really old. There's nothing new about this. They've known about graphene oxide for a much longer time. And then much later on, they supposedly discovered graphene, and then they came up with the graphene flagship project. But we think that it's more in depth. It's more involved than just that.
So when you look at this, and it's a 160-year-old known molecule, graphene oxide, you have to look at it from the framework of what kind of knowledge would you have gained in 160 years with regard to this.
Right. It's also a very well-known poison.
Yes.
So am I jumping the gun by asking what sort of evidence we've got that this is in the vaccines? Are we still getting to that?
Oh, well, it's definitely in the vaccines, and we're getting to that. We're going to show shots of exactly what's in those shots. So it's definitely in the graphene in those shots, and a lot of different teams have validated that as well.
Okay.
So this is why graphene oxide is used in the biomedical industry, even though it shouldn't be. The type of oxygen-based molecules attached to graphene oxide determines its unique properties and function to the graphene lattice and why it has been researched in the biotech industry. So graphene oxide production is relatively easier to produce on large scales compared to graphene. It contains semiconductive properties proportional to the level of oxidation in the graphene oxide. It's hydrophilic, which is attracted to water. That's what Tavon was mentioning earlier. And it has good dispersibility in an aqueous environment. So again, the applications for graphene and graphene oxide include water filtration, drugs, polymers, and fluorescent tags, bio devices, biosensors, human tissue scaffolds, drug delivery and gene therapy vectors, energy storage for ultracapacitors and batteries, enhanced fluid separation for membrane filters, and claim that graphene oxide shows excellent DNA absorption properties and biocompatibility, and DNA binding to graphene oxide is found to be very stable and reversible. So that is a bit about graphene oxide. Again, graphene oxide is the main ingredient in hydrogels, and this is what makes all this nanotechnology possible, but it's being found in everything. It's not just in the shots. Graphene oxide has been found in the PCR tests. So there are lab studies that we have linked that show that. It's also been found in the masks that they're forcing everyone to wear. Here's a picture here talking about graphene oxide found in the mask. This was in Canada and in Spain. And people were walking around breathing in the graphene oxide in these masks for at least a year before the governments recalled them and said, oh, maybe they're not safe.
So how have these scientists actually confirmed that this is graphene oxide? How do we know that that's what we're seeing with this image?
Well, La Quinta Columna was the one that first came out with that, as you know. And so they had visuals of what was graphene oxide in the shots. We do have some slides from that from our previous graphene oxide presentation. And several other experts in that field validated that indeed what they're seeing is graphene oxide in those shots. So there's
under a microscope that they discovered
that. Yes, yep. Definitely under a microscope. It's also found in chemtrails, and there is a studies and there's patents talking about how they're using graphene oxide in the spraying in geoengineering in the chemtrails. So it's being sprayed in the sky for who knows how long, right?
Yeah.
And also, as I had mentioned earlier, that there is a major contract in the UK for the water supply where they're using graphene in the water supply. So these are all the different evidences that we have to back that up, that it's been used. And like I said earlier, graphene oxide is the main ingredient in DARPA hydrogels. And this is from before the rollout of the vaccines. This was an article showing a military-funded biosensor could be the future of pandemic detection. And this is from the Prop USA Lumi sensor system, consists of a special hydrogel and an emitting device. Together, the two can detect and transmit data on subtle changes in the body, including potentially infection from diseases and viruses like coronavirus. So
when
again,
was this published?
Oh gosh,
two years ago, four.
2 or 3 years
ago. It was before Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah. Right. And so it was before all the vaccines were rolled out. Just basically saying this is how far the technology has come. They were bragging about the technology. Sorry about that. We have a cat running around here who's causing a bit of trouble. So, so this is the properties of graphene oxide. I'm going to go ahead and try to put this in slideshow view so you can see the animation of the GIF that we have here. Here we go. Can you still see that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right.
So how does this happen? What activates this?
So this research was done from a university that applied, they had a Tesla coil.
Rice University.
Rice University had a Tesla coil within the lab. And they had this graphene oxide within a solution. And when they turned on the Tesla coil, the changing, what you're seeing are the effects of the Tesla coils changing electric fields on the graphene oxide sample, causing it to separate and actually conform to the electric field lines. So this is what high frequency signals does to graphene oxide when it's stimulated by EMF.
What's this called again? Tesla.
Tesla phoresis.
That's it.
So can I ask, is there a way to actually control the way that it forms, or does it just do whatever it wants?
That's a really good question.
It is a good question.
We could say that it just does what it wants, but we personally believe that they can control the way it forms.
Maybe to a degree.
But they're not disclosing that, obviously. That's our own personal belief.
And it also might come down to what is the purpose of having this stuff in your body? If it's just to make you a better antenna, then you want this to expand as much as possible. So at that point, you don't really care how it spreads throughout the body, because our bodies are unique. Everyone's body is unique. So it would give off a unique signature.
And also, they've been experimenting with this for a while. There is a study that we referenced in our work where they were trying to, it was basically, they were trying to see how much graphene oxide they can put into a human before it kills them. And this study was put out on YouTube. It was presented at this big major conference in 2016. And so what happened was, after COVID came out, everybody found this study and went back to the video, and the comments section is very interesting to read, because people were catching on. They were catching
on. Smoking gun.
So that was the experiment. Like, they've been experimenting for a long time to try to figure out how much they can control this technology inside of a human.
But what's really interesting about this graphene oxide is, when it's stimulated by EMFs or by heat or some kind of energy source, it expands like multiple times. It just stretches out at a very large distance.
Yes. And I can see there that you've got that it actually has, controlled by EMF frequencies that are specifically found in 5G, but also that it can be used to manipulate neural pathways in the brain. This is what, you know, conspiracy theorists who happen to be right about everything have been saying for a very long time, that people are going to be able to be controlled. Their thoughts are going to be able to be controlled through this technology. Now, I will talk about the fact that Dr. Carrie Madej recently, in an interview that I did with her, she spoke about meetings with elite businesses and scientists that she was privy to, where they were discussing this possibility and this technology all the way back in 2015. So this has been planned for quite some time, to be able to control human behavior through this type of technology specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. The thing about graphene oxide is that the sample that you're looking at, clearly it's not microscopic. It's a sample of powder that they put within the solution, so it's black. But
what's it called? Nanotubules, I think.
Well, you can have different kinds of structures, as far as tubes, microtubes, and all these different things made from this material. But at the microscopic level, when you make structures out of graphene, it can be transparent. So you wouldn't see it unless you had some special microscopic procedure of trying to detect it.
Right. So is it possible that it's not even visible inside the vaccines until you actually do something to it to be able to see it?
Exactly. Right. You won't be able to see a lot of it. So people say, well, it's not black, or it doesn't look like it.
And the oxide layer in graphene oxide at the atomic level is what makes it transparent. And yeah, depending on how you dope it, you can get all kinds of different colors.
Right.
And this again is talking about how the EMF properties of hydrogels in COVID injections. So the hydrogels are on demand, which means they can be triggered at any moment to deliver a payload. Hydrogels can be used as biosensors in the body, meaning that the ability to accumulate data from your body, they have that ability, such as your breathing, respiration, thoughts, emotions, et cetera. Hydrogels have the ability to act through Wi-Fi, and they can both transmit and receive energy, messages, frequencies, or impulses. So something that's been coming out is that these hydrogels and this nanotechnology that's inside of our bodies is actually emitting EMF itself. There's been several tests that have done showing that as well.
Bluetooth, so it's not just tests. I've seen tests from scientists, actually, you know, people standing in a line emitting a Bluetooth signal.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to cover that too. We're going to talk about that also.
I keep jumping the gun.
This is great.
But you know, I think it's just a topic that so many people maybe are afraid to talk about, because it sounds so outlandish. But the fact of the matter is that these are not new discussions. These are things that scientists have been talking about forever. You've got people that are associated with the World Economic Forum talking about humans being hackable animals. You know, it's no secret anymore that that's what they plan on doing to us. And it would make sense that they would do it through something like this. Sorry, please go on, guys.
No, absolutely. We just want to make sure that everybody knows, like, this is our basic slide about how EMFs affect the body. This is a little chart here showing all the different types of effects on your health, like genetic effects, cancer, behavioral changes, nervous system, brain, blood barrier, brain permeability, calcium, efflux, cardiovascular, sleeping disorders, the list goes on and on. And we're talking about how to stop graphene oxide from being activated in your body. So we've got the graphene oxide in there. Even if you didn't get the injections, maybe you're getting it because it's in hand gel, all the hand sanitizers, they found graphene oxide in the hand sanitizers. So that's why people are constantly, you know, I have to have my graphene oxide dose like 15 times a day before I go in anywhere with the hand gels, right?
I'm going to pause you there. We actually have proof from the patents that they are planning on putting it into things like hand sanitizers. So again, there is proof of that. Go on.
Absolutely. So now that you know that you have all this stuff accumulating in your body, it's toxicity in your body, there's different ways that you can get this graphene oxide out of your body. There's been some studies done that can break up the graphene oxide. You can, if you boost your immune system, your God-given immune system can actually defend your body against EMF radiation poisoning, graphene oxide poisoning. So since graphene oxide is activated by the EMF, you want to create a barrier, a protective barrier in your immediate environment that mitigates the EMF so that it does not activate the graphene oxide. And there's different things that you can do in order to clean your environment. And then there's also things you can do internally to help clean your body so that you're not a walking antenna for the 5G beaming the technology that they've put into our bodies. So things like don't live near towers or crowded cities if it's possible. Turn off Wi-Fi at night is always very helpful. Don't use smart meters or smart appliances. We call them Orgone Energy EMF protection devices because they don't just block the radiation. They actually change the EMF energy in the air. So we've been using them for a long time. Those are the products that we make. And talking about health symptoms, we created this chart here. Because what they're calling COVID-19, those standard symptoms that are being branded as COVID-19, it's actually the same symptoms from radiation sickness and also from graphene oxide poisoning. So maybe you've got radiation sickness from 5G being turned on, but they're saying, oh, I got COVID. Maybe no. Maybe you've got graphene oxide poisoning because it's the same exact symptoms.
How do we know that?
This is based on studies that we've got linked in the blog post for each of the sicknesses. So if you look up things like blood clots and thrombosis, you'll find all these studies that say that radiation sickness causes blood clots and thrombosis. Graphene oxide poisoning causes blood clots and thrombosis, but they're also saying that COVID-19 is what's causing blood clots and thrombosis. So we're just linking up all the same symptoms that are caused by these different things and how they're rebranding it as the COVID-19 virus, which.
And what people ask, why would my body react to both of these different things? If it's radiation sickness or graphene oxide or, you know, and I think the way to look at it is that both of these things are toxic to the body. The body is introduced to a toxic environment. So in reaction to it, you get these symptoms.
And something else we wanted to highlight here, which I think is, it's really important to understand this, that there's this concept or a theory that's been going around. It comes from this book called The Invisible Rainbow. And this is kind of like a background or a history of EMF electrical pollution on our planet and the flu. So flu viruses, pandemics, and electromagnetic radio and microwave radiation connections. So in this book, the author Fistenberg traces the history of electricity from the early 18th century to the present, making a compelling case that many environmental problems, such as the major diseases of industrialized civilization, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, are related to electrical pollution. And we have a timeline here. It's basically every time there's some kind of a quantum leap in an electrical or technological development in our world, such as radio, satellites, internet 5G, 1G to 2G, 2G to 3G, any kind of like an upgrade of electrical magnetic frequency on the planet, there's a flu outbreak that goes along with it. And so this is just linking like the Spanish flu and to the radio era when they were putting radio towers up all over the planet. And the same thing with the Asian flu virus, the Hong Kong flu, swine flu outbreak in New Jersey. And so you fast forward to today, where we have this major upgrade from 4G to 5G across the entire planet. And the first town to activate on scale was Wuhan, China, for their,
followed,
their 5G.
Followed by Italy, which had huge outbreak. Interesting.
Yeah, so there's definitely a connection there about how when they do this, there's a flu outbreak. And so what we're saying is that that flu outbreak is most likely a connection to the electromagnetic frequencies that they're putting out into the environment. You can't see it, but you definitely get the flu-like symptoms. You were just talking about being at a protest there and feeling sick afterwards. A lot of people have been getting sick from being exposed to this radiation, and it does. It feels like the flu.
So I'm just having a look through some of these comments. So someone's saying that long COVID isn't a real thing. It's just radiation poisoning that has the long-term effects that stays in your body. It's being cited as long COVID. Well, there are many, many doctors, many different experts that are saying that it's the spike proteins and the effect of the spike proteins in your body. There's evidence that they stay for 60 days or even longer, and that they actually, that they are causing these symptoms. So it is a combination. I believe what you're both presenting is that it's a combination of all of these things. It may not actually be COVID. It may be radiation. It may not be influenza. It may be radiation. It could also be what the spike proteins are doing to the body. There's a number of different ways that this has been planned to make humans sick. Am I correct in my assumption?
Yes. Yeah. And speaking to the spike proteins, and this is based on some work by Dr. Tom Cowan here, he talks about the spike protein as being a toxic protein. And there's plenty of examples of toxic proteins in our world, such as snake venom, for example. So people are just being poisoned with toxicity. So it could be poisoning from the spike proteins that are being generated by this technology in our bodies. So it could be a combination. And I think that they really, whoever's in control of this agenda has really just thrown the kitchen sink at the world. They put everything that they had into this agenda, be it technology, radiation poisoning, all kinds of experiments. It's difficult to say it's just one thing because we think it's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. And it's by design so that you can't really get a handle on it unless you do the research and find out and uncover this information.
And a large part of it is the battle for your mind, because a lot of it is psychological, such as like when they did the dose study, which we're not covering in this, but we've covered in the past about certain vaccines were really toxic and then other ones were not toxic. And that's been discovered and found as well. And that the whole purpose of that was to gaslight the entire population so that you've got a friend, oh, I got the shot, nothing happened to me, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. So what's wrong with you? Why are you an anti-vaxxer? You know, so that's the whole point behind the psychological operation, is to try to, you know, fool as many people as possible.
Yes, and make it as confusing as possible. Sure.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about with all of this, that, you know, electromagnetic frequencies are a form of an energy weapon. So this is something that we have experience with in the past, that we've written about in our book as well. And we're just showing a little screenshot here of instances where energy weapons have been used on the population. Because a lot of people are like, no, the governments would never use it on their own people. Right. And because it's an invisible weapon, you can't see it. People think of weapons like bombs that come out of the sky. But, you know, these are really dangerous weapons. And these are examples of how they have used these weapons on the population, such as in the Iraq war.
Right. And also on 9/11, Dr. Judy Wood talked about evidence that basically concluded that some kind of new system, weapon system, was used to take the buildings down, you know, steel and concrete. And the other thing is the forest fires that have happened in the past couple of years that went into neighborhoods and were seemingly houses became burnable, but not the trees. Whole cars were evaporated, but, you know, again, other areas were left alone. It seemed to be very targeted. And so a lot of people conclude that that was a direct energy attack as well.
And we put this slide together with just those three things on it before the most recent event in Australia. And so when I had a friend that was there who said we were attacked and telling me about what happened to the people there, and I was just, I got on my knees and just started praying. I was absolutely... It's really hard to find words how it feels to know about these things, to try to be telling people about these things, and then it happens to people you know. They actually came out and used an energy weapon on that crowd of women and children.
Based on the symptoms that people are reporting, we've had word that could not possibly be an LRAD, because LRADs can't actually cause those type of symptoms, burning. I've had photos of people sent to me of burns under their jeans. That's not sunburn. Swollen eyes, you know, people, children sleeping all day, vomiting, nosebleeds. That's not LRAD symptoms. What could that have actually been?
Microwave radiation, RF radiation. Remember, microwaves are from 300 megahertz to 300 gigahertz, that wide band. And radiation, those are symptoms of extreme radiation sickness. And we had, and which is making its way around, it's gone viral on the internet, someone taking their tri-field meter. I think it was at the protest.
Yeah, they were at the event there.
And it was pegged in the street, in the middle of the street. That's not a bunch of mobile phones going off. That is the areas being flooded with lethal radiation. And because it's invisible, you know, and that you probably know the video we're talking about, Maria, but, you know, everyone was just walking around.
I sent that. I sent it to Stu Peters. I know the video. Yeah.
And it's also anyone from this point forward, anyone in any kind of public protest at all, have a friend get it where you get a tri-field meter. Everyone has to have a tri-field meter.
And that's our biggest concern, is because people are protesting that their rights are being taken away. And we have governments that are using these invisible weapons and radiating the crowd.
And then gaslighting everyone and saying, oh, it was only speakers.
So I think that one thing you can do is get the tri-field meters.
And have the evidence.
Get a team of your friends together. If you're going to go to a protest, get the tri-field meters. Because what might happen is you go to the event, they turn on things. You might not be able to get a picture of the actual weapon being used. You might not see it at all.
It might be mounted on the roof.
And you might not feel it right away. It might not be until after you go home that you suddenly come down with this horrible sickness. Because it happens for different people, depending upon your state of health. Maybe some people have a stronger immune system than others, so they don't feel it right away. But, you know, it's a real concern. It's a real concern of how they can do crowd control. It's just, I don't know. It really infuriates me to know that they're using this on citizens.
Crowd control on peaceful protesters and women and children. Yeah. And so what we're saying is the LRAD devices that we're seeing, and also pictured there, it wouldn't have been that. It would have actually been something else.
We think it's possible.
It's possible. It could be hidden, or it could be something that looks like an LRAD, but microwave emitters have a very similar footprint.
And something Tavon's always said, because he has a former experience in the Navy, and so he knows a lot about the weapon systems and everything. And he's also gone through targeting individual programs. So we've been dealing with this personally years before this happened. So he's been telling me for years now, they have all kinds of weapons that we don't know about, that we don't, like, the technology is so advanced that, you know, there's what they disclose to the public of what exists. And then there's other kinds of weapons that they've been developing for a long time that nobody really knows about or understands.
Well, Dr. David Martin, in an interview recently, told me that they've literally got the infrastructure in place to switch off electricity, internet, absolutely everything in one switch. That's it. Like, it's already there and available, so that at any time they can actually switch the entire grid off.
Yeah. Well, that's why we've been working on developing our own technology, our energy technology, so we could be as off-grid as possible. So if that were to happen, we'd have something, you know?
There's a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you go on YouTube, still on YouTube, but there are people who do these kind of experiments with off-grid type stuff, and it's good to see.
So talking about the technology and this microwave tech that's been used on populations, this is just another example we're showing you. This is a video here talking about how communist China is testing microwave technology on its citizens. So if you wanted to get an example of how long this has been going on, you can check out that video as well. And again, we've written about this. We've shown all the patents for a lot of this technology, including other types of electronic harassment technology like voice to skull, there's all these patents behind this. So we list all those patents in our book. And so this is where we're getting all this information.
And a lot of this technology behind, the history behind this technology is quite old. We're going back like 70 years, Maria. For a lot of these patents. So it's been researched for a very long time.
So with that, which means
that they'd have time to really fine tune it by now as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm. Exactly.
Yes.
So with that, we're going to jump into what's been found in the shots. So this is just a collection. These are little pictures that come from the microscopes, the findings of different teams of scientists around the world. Mm. That we've been watching over the last couple of years, or the last year at least. Like the Hydra vulgaris is in the shot. Microchips have been found in the COVID vaccines. Parasites have been found in there. Steel and aluminum metals have been found in there. There's your picture of graphene oxide, or one of them. There's many photos of graphene oxide being found in the shots under the microscope. And this
I'm familiar with some of these images. So, for example, that microbubble technology looks like, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Zandre Botha, she's the one that found all of that. The microchips, that's Lakinta Kalumna. The Hydra vulgaris, that's Carrie Madej. So these, I've seen, I'm familiar with most of these.
Yes. So we linked each and every one of those people as well behind all of these findings so that you can go see the actual report when it was first discovered. And if you go a little bit deeper, we found some patents that show, like, let's see, microbubble technology. I'm going to skip down here, just as an example. The microbubble technology, the microbeads, microspheres, microbubbles are listed as active ingredients in the Pfizer patent and the Moderna patent. So, and it says right here that the characteristics of this is they interlink by electrodes and can self-replicate via electrical pulses. They're used to deliver drugs or a payload over a period of time, which can be over days, weeks, months, or years, as the Moderna patent specifies. And here's a clip of the Moderna patent where it shows that. So people say, I got the shot, I'm fine, a couple months has gone by, but it could be releasing payloads into your body up to a year after you've gotten the shot. At any time.
And it could be dependent on what signals are in the environment. It can only trigger, they might release a payload when they're triggered by a certain frequency, for example.
So,
I mean, this is not natural. This is not supposed to be in the human body.
No. And if you see the video from Dr. Zandre Botha, where it shows when she discovered this, it's like, they move in this interlocking pattern. They have these little connectors between them. So they look like little machines. And it's really, really creepy. But speaking about these machines, this report is something everybody really needs to take a look at. This was put out by the team of La Quinta Columna, Intrabody Nano Network Brief Summary by Mick Anderson through La Quinta Columna. And what they're doing here is they're taking all of the stuff that they've been finding in these vaccines and comparing it to different studies about nanotechnology and saying, this is what these things are and what they're doing in your body. So here's just a brief list of the different things they found and what they do.
So they found nano routers that emit MAC addresses via Bluetooth, nano antennas that amplify the signal.
Just to clarify, MAC addresses, we're not talking about Apple here. We're talking about...
Yeah, these are machine code addresses. These are the kind of codes that you'd find only in electronic consumer products that have some kind of wireless capability, like maybe your Bluetooth speaker or like your computer, your laptop, some remote devices. They would have these machine addresses that they would broadcast that you could see on your mobile phone if you wanted to, let's say, pair devices with your JBL speaker. You would see the name of the appliance and you would connect your Bluetooth. It does it through a MAC address. Well, people who've taken the injection, unfortunately, with some of those injections, they have these type of technologies in them where now their body is emitting a MAC address as if they are a consumer electronic product.
Have we got studies? I know that the videos are circulating social media. I know that there have been actually a group of scientists, I can't remember who they are, but they actually conducted an experiment in a field and they had a mix of vaccinated, unvaccinated people. I don't even want to call it a vaccine, injected, non-injected. And some of them were too afraid to find out the results. They actually left before the experiment was over, but you saw the signals coming up on the computer. Are there more studies that people have done on this? Oh, yeah, so here it is.
Yeah. We'll just jump to that slide since you're bringing it up. So that's the study you were just talking about, the vaccinated and non-vaccinated, a French study in a field. But if you do a search for Bluetooth challenge videos, you will see a ton of videos of people doing this very thing. And we actually had people contact us after the last show we did with SGT, where they were saying, hey, Here's my Bluetooth codes that I'm picking up in my area. Is this what I'm seeing? Is this legitimate? And, you know, sure enough, a lot of this is exactly what we're saying. It's like people are actually able to test it.
Do we have any further studies other than sort of a field? Are there any controlled studies that have been done that we're aware of?
No, we don't. I don't know. I don't know if there's more studies after that. I do know that there is a lot of videos.
There are some instruction videos that are there's more that are coming out. I saw one last in the past few days that was interesting because it helped people figure out how they can take their phone, put it into developer mode. You need to go into developer mode on your Android phone so that you allow your phone to be able to pick up random MAC addresses within the area. Also, depending on what codes show up, you know, when you're trying to see what's available in your area, there's a certain string of numbers you have to look for because there is a chart you can go online and find out what the type of device is identified under those string of numbers. And this particular string, I can't remember it, but this particular string of numbers is unidentifiable. And, you know, it's not a speaker, it's not a TV, it's not a computer, it's not a laptop. They have an actual string of numbers that's for undefined. And that's where those who had taken the injection, that's what they would show up as on your phone.
I think for anyone who's sort of critical of these types of studies and critical that this is actually happening, the same way that adverse reaction videos started coming out of people being magnetic, that was kind of a crazy conspiracy online with all these videos circulating before scientists started looking into it and said, well, actually, there is magnetism in these people. The same way that these types of videos are going to circulate online and more studies will be done on it. It's still a relatively new phenomenon from what I understand. But I know that there'll definitely be more on this. Unfortunately, you know, when it's first introduced, it kind of seems crazy, but that more and more evidence is coming out that this is very much possible.
That's a really good point and a really good comparison because it is an organic way, because like when Tavon was mentioning people are giving instructions on how to do this, that's like an organic formation of a study that's being done because they don't want you to do studies on this. They don't want you to find this information and have all that bona fide evidence in your face, right? They definitely want people to think that it's a conspiracy theory. That's why they've invested so much in their budgets of calling it a conspiracy theory and censoring everyone that comes and tells the truth, including the teams that do the studies.
Yeah, there's definitely a transition point where it goes from, oh, they're just making it up, it's not real, to then you have a commercial, because now there's commercials now where, you know, you'll have an ISP offering a service. We saw this commercial the other day, and the person who, you know, they stick something on their arm, the customer sticks something on their arm, like cool thing.
They're using the magnetism in the commercials as a joke.
You know, so it's gone from this one extreme to another where they have to acknowledge it, or else it looks like, you know, the academic community or the research community is not credible or,
So we just wanted to show going back to what's been found in the shots and the different characteristics of each one of them for the codecs, logic gates. These are all the computer parts to the nanotechnology that they've been finding. So this is explaining how these things are working in your body. So it's like, there's no way that it could be stimulated by EMF or that it could control behaviors. This is how they're controlling behaviors. Like if they have logic gates, which is something for using computers that they're putting inside of the body to tell functions like and, or, not, true, false, less than, greater than. This is also how they're collecting data, bio data from people. And we're talking about here about there's patents. These are two patents that describe how they will hook up human beings to the Internet of Things via 5G. Those patents are routing policies for biological hosts by AT&T. There's the patent number right there. Devices and methods for transferring data through a human body, AT&T. There's that patent number. And then also the infamous cryptocurrency system using body activity data from Microsoft. And that's the patent with the 666 in the patent number that we've heard about. But if you look into these patents, they actually describe how they're connecting humans through nanotechnology to a server through the 5G Internet of Things. So some of these are older slides. I'm sure you've seen a lot of them. We just wanted to put them together as a collection for people who might not have seen this stuff yet of all the different things that they've been finding. This is when La Quinta Columna first came out showing the microchip formations that they found when they let the hydrogel evaporate on the slides.
Let the solution within the sample evaporate, leaving only.
So you can see that the actual shapes with these perfect square edges. Also from those same work, these are like CPUs or central processing units that are like embedded and raised up. These are two different chips that look the same that they found in the vaccine shots. And that's like a CPU for like a computer board. And
this is specifically Pfizer, isn't it?
Yes, this one's Pfizer.
So is there anything, do we have the same sort of findings with any of the other vaccine manufacturers?
Something has been found in almost all the vaccines. So they found graphene oxide in almost all the vaccines, especially even the ones that you don't hear about. Like here in Morocco, we've got the Sinopharm, which is in a lot of countries. They found graphene oxide in Sinopharm. Mm-hmm. They found graphene oxide in the Sputnik vaccine in Russia. So it's in all the vaccines. And then they found different types of microcircuitry and these like microchips in Johnson & Johnson, as well as the Pfizer. So it's basically a mix of all this stuff is in every single one of these COVID vaccines.
What is this circuitry that assembles with EMF? How do we know that it assembles with EMF?
So going back to here, if you look at this chart here, these little parts and pieces, like the codec, the nano interface, these are parts of this circuitry here. And what they've done is La Quinta Columna has taken all the different things that they found in this vaccine and they linked it up with scientific studies that show how the nanotechnology works. And so that is how you know that it works with EMF.
Yeah, if anyone's not familiar with the work of La Quinta Columna, they've really been leading the way in this research. I recall a video, I think it's is it Richard Delgado? Is that his name? That was basically screaming. Ricardo, screaming when he discovered these microchips forming, saying this needs to stop immediately. And this is, you know, this is a scientist. So anyway, sorry, please continue.
Yeah, I remember that video. I've never seen him that angry. And he was rightfully so to find this. You might have heard about this as well. The German pathologists, they found the same microchip substances in the COVID shots. So after La Quinta Columna came out and found this, other team started researching and finding the same type of technology in the shots. So this presentation shows a mechanically constructed object. That's this down here in the Pfizer vaccine. The machine is moving itself in the fluid. So it's like a little spaceship moving through the fluid. And they say in this video that the same type of objects were also found in the J&J shots as well.
Do we know what it and is?
It's part of that nanotechnology.
Not really sure.
We're not really sure.
Well, we're not sure. Okay.
We're not sure. But what we can say on the next slide is the most recent findings from a New Zealand team of scientists. So, Tavon, explain how the scientists found these things and how they self-assembled and what they found.
Okay, so what you see on the upper left is that this particular scientist, they did a website. They posted all their findings on the website, which was then taken down.
Yeah, it was heavily censored.
Heavily censored, and only Naima was able to grab the information before. Well,
not just me, but... A few people were able to grab it and put it up on BitChute so that it wasn't lost forever.
Yes. So, but the scientists basically found in a sample, and the residue of a sample on the upper left were these basic shapes, circles, rectangles, squares, just kind of free floating within the sample.
And this was in the Pfizer shot community. I think I said that right.
Community.
Yeah. So it's in the Pfizer shots that we're looking at here. And so in the beginning, you have these shapes that formed, like circles and rectangles. Hmm. And then what happened after that?
Okay, so he had to travel from one site to another, and it was warm that day. He went for a walk. He had the samples in his car. He left it in his car. So it's exposed to the environment, right? The ambient, EMF and the environment with the heat, the New Zealand heat. And then he comes back after his walk, and he goes to the other site. Then he takes the samples out of the car, he puts it back under the microscope. And what he found is that these basic shapes, these components formed these self-formed, these structures, these more complicated, larger structures. So going from left to right, and then the bottom two, you see these complex networks that were formed by these basic shapes. And we're not sure what, especially the one on the right, what that is. I mean, we don't know if that's some kind of retina. And also you have to think about the scale of these complex structures. This is all microscopic. And at this scale, you're not dealing with microwaves anymore. You're dealing with something that would work in a terahertz region, which is much higher than frequencies than microwaves.
To know the credentials of the scientists that discovered this in New Zealand? Because I've been sent the video. I think it's a man and a woman that declare that they found it. And then I wasn't able to find anything further on it.
Well, we don't know the credentials of this exact scientist, or we also don't know their name. But what I can tell you is that before we showed these slides in our last presentation, we actually put a disclaimer, a disclosure slide in there, just basically saying that a lot of these scientists that are doing this level of work, when they're putting these vaccines under the microscope and they're showing what they're finding, they're getting threatened, and they're, people, and a couple have ended up dead. So maybe this person doesn't want to share what their name is. I mean, with the field of technology that we've worked in, we've experienced that ourselves personally. So at this point, we don't know who this person is, but we do have what's been found on their slides. So
I've actually heard Look Into Columna make similar statements that they've had multiple members from their team have their lives threatened, and that they didn't care, and they wanted to get this information out there. But I do recall the videos circulating. I'm actually going to, after this, have a look for those two scientists and see if I can track them down. No promises, but I'm going to do my best. Anyway, sorry to go on.
And we also know that the level of censorship coming out of New Zealand, I've heard, is like some of the worst. It's they're the worst there when it comes to censoring people. So, it might be another reason why it's hard to find.
The interesting thing about these structures too is that, I mean, it's the first time I think people have seen these. If it turns out to be a genuine thing, then did New Zealand get a unique batch from the Pfizer, another technology? Are these technologies, certain key graphene oxide based technologies with the chips and everything, they're being given to certain different countries? Or to like map what the results are going to be, like in a controlled experiment.
And these are more slides from that same experiment in New Zealand. But what we're seeing here is what happens when the vaccine comes into contact with human blood. So in the previous slide, it was just the vaccine that we were looking at under the microscope. And now he took one drop of human blood and put it next to one drop of the vaccine and watched the reactions. So it's like, and of course, this is all in dark field as well, so you can see more. But when the vaccine meets up with the human blood, the white blood cells are annihilated and the red blood cells are heavily damaged. That is the pictures that we're seeing here. Now, these are relatively new. They just came out like maybe a month ago. I think this information came out. So it's not very old. And we're still trying to figure out what it is that we're looking at. But look at some of these pictures and how the blood cells are reacting. That there's a lot of activity going on there with this nanotechnology.
I mean, we definitely need to look more into this. I mean, it's not the first time that we've seen really strange things under a microscope with these vaccines, but we need confirmation of what's actually going on here. Very alarming, very alarming.
I agree. So we've already discussed this about the micro bubbles and the Bluetooth emitting codes. But we're going to go back in time a little bit just to talk about the tracking and tracing. So this is before the vaccines were released. And this is one presentation we did exposing Operation Warp Speed. This is Moncef Slaoui. He was the vaccine czar for Trump in the beginning. He's actually from Morocco, but was living in America at the time. He came out with two interviews, and he leaked some information in these interviews on the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal. And what he said is that millions of Americans who receive the vaccine will be tracked via an incredibly precise pharmacovigilance surveillance system that will track the vitals and whereabouts of Americans who receive the Warp Speed vaccine. And also, we know that Google and Oracle, those two big tech companies, were awarded the defense contract to track and trace Americans who receive the vaccine. So with this structure, we looked into the background of big tech companies. They got the defense contract to track and trace everyone. We've got the CEO of Alphabet or Google, who used to be married to Ann Wojcicki, and she was running 23andMe, which is a DNA collection company to collect DNA. Mm. She's sisters with Susan, who's the CEO of YouTube. So there's like a whole bunch of connections there about how they're kind of all working in this together. So those are just connections to keep in mind. Oops. And also during the pandemic vaccine, 5G was rolled out at warp speed during the entire COVID pandemic while everyone was locked in their homes and forbidden to protest. So that's something also to keep in mind. Like, why would they keep rolling out the 5G if it was really just for faster internet speeds during a pandemic when all this stuff is going on? So we fully believe that it's part of the entire agenda. And this is recent. A few months ago, this company Signpost was caught selling 3 million DNA samples that they got from the COVID test swabs to third parties. So the purpose of constantly having to take those fake PCR tests is so that they can collect your DNA. And this goes into the gene editing that you've done other shows on with people that are much more qualified to speak about that than we are. But you know, I always knew that there was a problem with those PCR tests. We know that they're fraudulent. They give false positive. But the whole point is to get your DNA on that swab because it's being sold to third parties. What are they doing with the DNA? Well, it would make sense that they're using it to collect data on everybody that's been vaccinated to see how their gene editing is going. Like, you know, because that's why you have to get the PCR test even after you've gotten the shots.
Like a before and after.
Right. So there's a database that is housing all of this information on everybody that's being tested and vaccinated and tracked and traced to see how the gene editing experiment is going.
So there are a number of different organizations who are doing this, and they've actually said that, you know, I can't remember the name of the organization, but I read page hundred and something of their privacy policy. This was actually a UK issue, and it clearly said that the data would be going to unknown organizations. So we don't really know. Where's it going? Probably the World Health Organization in some sort of a database. But I mean, we don't know. The reality is we don't know. These people are, you know, obviously collecting DNA. God knows what they're doing with it. What you've proposed as a theory is certainly possible.
Not to mention that the swabs themselves have graphene oxide in them, and they're like these little shards, and they break off, especially since they go so up the nose, close to the brain. They're depositing nanotechnology into people. Mm. I've known people that are like, yeah, I've had like 13 of those PCR tests. Like they just keep putting that stuff up their nose to deposit the technology into their bodies.
And it's passing the blood-brain barrier. So it's very possible for that technology, if it's on there to go into the body.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're getting close to the end here. We just wanted to talk about, you know, shedding or transmission and protection. And so this has been going around, especially since the flu season has just come around, especially in our neck of the woods. So expect flu-like symptoms from EMF pollution and shedding from vaccinated individuals. So sets of symptoms branded as COVID are fever, headache, loss of taste and smell, achy joints, extremely fatigued. And we know that vaccinated people are getting sick because of the poison that's in the vials, but how are unvaccinated people getting sick, and what are they coming down with if there is no virus? So these are two different concepts here. So EMF pollution and radiation sickness, because there's more 5G radiating the public during this entire time. They're upgrading the entire 5G system. They're turning up the towers. Mm-hmm. They're turning, like, there's a multiple band of frequencies with 5G. So some of the 5G towers are only using a certain set of frequencies, but then they add additional frequencies to that. Like
I was going to ask you. So are they doing that in stages? Because we keep hearing they're about to turn it on full force. No one really knows what that means. Are they doing it in stages in different regions? Are they doing it more in one place than in another? How is it all happening?
Well, we have a theory behind that, and it's just our educated theory. And we're doing this based on the dosage experiment that they were found doing with the vaccines. So they put out more toxic batches than others, and then they were able to monitor and track and trace that. We think that they're going to do the same thing with the 5G rollout. They're not just going to flip. We don't believe they're going to flip a giant switch and just turn everything up on full force and microwave the entire public all at once. We think that they're going to do different frequencies in different areas for their own testing, just like they did with the dose experiment, and also like they did with the experiment with graphene oxide that they talked about back in 2016, was to see how much.
Yeah, to back up your statement there about the batches being released, also not a conspiracy theory. That's an analysis that Dr. Mike Eden and a bunch of others have done on the VAERS system. They found that certain batches were causing majority of the adverse events. That's been, you know, brought forth to Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich and the team at the Corona Investigative Committee. So again, this is fact. This has been happening. You know, it's possible that what you're saying is the way that they would do it. So what I'm asking is, we don't have intel. We don't have any industry knowledge thus far as to how they're going to do that.
Other than what, for example, Qualcomm has released on their site with regard to the progress of 5G in various countries, we have another slide that's not in this presentation, but it's available on the Qualcomm site, showing all the different countries by their flag and the frequencies that they're either testing or is in public use right now, or is slated to be released in the future. And what's interesting about these frequencies is that they're all pretty much similar. You know, I guess it's similar technology. So you're gonna have a band, which is in America, it was a C band from 3 to 8 gigahertz. But in the future, there's going to be like 18 to 20 something gigahertz, 21 to 26 gigahertz made available. But those frequencies are also going to be start opening up in various countries around the world by looking at the Qualcomm site.
And the only way we would be able to know which frequencies they're using, like how much they've turned on?
You'd have to actually have the equipment in order to measure it, Maria. So for all we know, they can be doing tests, secret testing, and before you do anything public, you test anyway, just to make sure that the circuit is running and that everything is functioning. So they can be doing testing right now, and no one would know. The only way you would know is if you'd have the equipment, which is very expensive. You know, we're talking like $40,000 on up to measure the higher band frequencies. Anything above 8 gigahertz. If you're concerned about anything like 26 gigahertz, 60, and those higher frequencies, you need some expensive equipment to do it. So you'd actually have to have it on monitoring these towers while they're just happen to be testing covertly.
Right.
The other thing too that it could be is the shedding or transmission from the vax. If people are getting ill, like something is spreading or transmitting or being shared in some way. So what could that be? So there's studies and reports that show that something is indeed being spread from vaxxed people to unvaxxed people. And we have a full presentation with all those studies and reports of people experiencing symptoms. And just keep in mind that billions of people are vaccinated with nanotech that emit a signal and are adding to the radiation in the atmosphere. So it's like people are now the new cell towers. Right. So these are reasons why sickness might be spreading. And here are just a couple of things where vaccinated people are making the unvaccinated sick. This is from John Hopkins. It's called self-spreading vaccines or self-disseminating vaccines. So this is documentation that shows knowledge and intent of the vaccine manufacturers to promote the shedding of vaccination symptoms to the unvaccinated. And here we've got Karen Kingston, as you mentioned earlier, talking about the Pfizer documents, where how they admit that the experimental mRNA trial subjects are super spreaders who transmit disease to the unvaxxed during Pfizer's clinical trials. It's cleverly termed occupational exposure. So this is the documentation that shows that they know that by vaccinating people, it's going to spread sickness or something to unvaccinated people. They've been experimenting with this technology for quite a long time.
Surely nanotech can't spread through, you know, the breath. I know that spike proteins can, but surely nanotech can't be spread like that, or do we just not know enough yet? It's just such a new concept.
It is.
Well, see, and honestly, I've spent a lot of time just like pondering that myself, like, how can it spread? Because, you know, we haven't taken the shots and we haven't gotten any of those PCR tests, right? But we live on the planet and we're being sprayed with chemtrails. And I'm sure there was something in some food somewhere. So we've got nanotech in us from other means. But there's a huge difference between breathing it in, ingesting it in your digestive system, because those are systems that, you know, God created our bodies to protect us from certain things. When you inject it right into your blood, that's a whole different story. So, you know, so maybe we could fight it off, but people that are just injecting it right into their bloodstream, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows if they can fight it off, you know?
I think it will be very difficult. I mean, until scientists start actually studying this, you know, more in depth to find out what's happening in the blood, what's happening to vaccinated individuals. Like I said, it's all so new. These topics are still new topics. So our knowledge is very limited at this stage, but I'm sure it will. And eventually the mainstream will talk about how great it is to be, you know, a human computer.
Yeah. But let's just talk about how to protect yourself, though. We are seeing a lot of evidence that if you do boost your immune system, there's all different types of protocols people can look into as ways to boost your own immune system. That is how you fight off the nanotechnology. You can use EMF protection products to try to like clean up the environment around you. Detoxing your body from heavy metals is another part of boosting that immune system, because we're all toxic. We all have this accumulation of the toxins in our environment. And the heavy metals, just think about putting metal in the microwave. Okay, that's all you need to know. If you have metals in your body on that level and you're getting beamed with EMF, even just from your cell phone or the TV or the appliances around you, it's interacting with the metals in your body, and it's making you a lot sicker, making things worse. So heavy metal detoxes are really good things to do. Don't take the injections or the boosters. If you've taken the injection, stop. Don't take any more. There are still ways that some people can try to detox what's going on in those shots out of their bodies. There's ways to recover from certain things up to a point. We still don't know. It's still very experimental. If your DNA has been changed, I don't know how you fix that. However, there's certain things that people can do to try to undo taking the shots. A lot of people have remorse. They just took the shot because they thought they had to. They were coerced into it. They had no knowledge of what was inside of it. I mean, Pfizer won't let us know for like, what, 75 years now?
They're doing their very best. It's absolutely heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because you're right. I mean, there are people that are just completely brainwashed and that's fine. But there are people in the middle who, you know, or even people who know the risks. I spoke to a gentleman just the other day who said, I knew my conscience told me this was wrong, but I needed to work. And the fact of the matter is that people have been lied to. If what you're telling us is true, if all of this comes out to be 100%, you know, undeniable evidence that computers are forming inside our blood, I mean, this is the biggest. It's not just adverse events. It's not just the fact that people have died. It's not. It is that you are now changed for the rest of your life. Potentially, this is devastating. So I really hope that people can detox from this, Hope and Tavon, because, I mean, no one wants, we're changing what it means to be a human being. This is serious.
I have to say that I firmly believe that you can detox from this to a certain extent. However, it all begins in the mind. A person really needs to be convinced that, wow, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done this. Repentance. I firmly believe that we can be made a new creation in God's image if we go that particular path. But if we are willfully ignorant and we just say, I'm just going to do whatever the government tells me to do and inject whatever is into my body and I'm not going to think about it. Mm. You know, that's where the real damage starts in the mind. The real battle is for the mind. These last slides here are also just mentioning things like turning off your Wi-Fi at night is a huge help. And if you live around cell phone towers, if you could move into a more rural area, that's really going to help as well. This is a slide. What we're looking at here is, well, Tavon, let's walk us through this.
Okay. So this study was done on nanotech that was found in COVID test swabs. And so the analysis of these test sticks were from the surface testing of the Slovak Republic Confirmation of Genocide.
It's the name of the report.
That's the name of the study report.
This is from.
So this is dealing with where defined as DARPA hydrogel crystals. And so to this was added human saliva with antibodies on the left. And then, all right, so what you see here are these crystals. And these crystals are the reaction of the hydrogels combining with human saliva. They create these crystals.
And these crystals are also fractal antennas, which is brought out in the La Quinta Columna report we talked about. So this is what they look like. But here's the miracle that happens with a good immune system and also with things like ivermectin.
So on the left, you see what your immune system, with their enzymes and with strong antibodies can do. Someone who this sample was basically someone who recovered from COVID. They had a strong immune system and their antibodies broke down the fractal antenna structures. So what you see on the left there, on the left of that slide, you see the structures being broken down by the natural enzymes and antibodies of a recovered from the recovered COVID patient. Now what you see on the right is another slide where ivermectin was applied to the right hand of the slide. And it completely eradicated the antenna, their fractal antenna structures, and just made them disappear altogether.
That's very interesting. So it's not only effective against the spike protein, it's effective against nanotech?
In this case, yes.
Yes.
And so the questions are like, well, why is that if it's an anti, what is it? Ivermectin is,
it's an anti-parasitic,
right?
Mm. And it works as an anti-inflammatory as well.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, the ivermectin is actually completely eradicating these nanostructures that are being formed. So it's just a fascinating find.
It is.
If people are infested or toxic with nanotechnology. And it's because there's a lot of people, there's a whole community of people that have been trying to figure out how to get these nanobots out of their bodies. Think people that have things like Morgellons disease, things along those lines, right? They're, how do I break down these structures and get it out of my body? And so we're seeing evidence that it's possible, that it can be done.
It can be done.
You can break down these structures.
But this will give people a lot of hope. This will give people a lot of hope. Yeah. But the problem is that ivermectin is completely, I mean, it's banned here, but it's so hard for people to access it here in Australia, even though, you know, we've been told the Queen's using it to get better, to recover from COVID. Our mainstream says she's using it. Anyway, okay, are there any other things that they've done that show, any other medications that they've shown are effective like ivermectin, or is it just exclusively ivermectin that's had this effect?
We haven't found any slides like this that show visually
this was the first
what's
set
been
of slides.
Done. So we don't know.
I mean, we don't.
It's still being researched.
Laquita Columna, Dr. Delgado.
Yes.
He does say that NAC will also break down graphene oxide
and glutathione. Yeah, he was talking about using NAC and glutathione
supplements.
Supplements like high doses of them. He was talking about how they had patients that were actually on ventilators, full COVID on ventilator, almost dead. And they gave them glutathione and NAC, which are supplements that boost the immune system and oxygenate the cells. And they came off the ventilators and they were completely recovered, like almost within hours. So that's where the immune system is really important to look at as well. That if you do these things, your immune system can
start to degrade the structures in time.
Yeah.
I mean, heavy metal detoxing is good for anyone anyway, considering all of the things that we're exposed to these days.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And with that, we just wanted to do one last slide here just to talk about who we are. We've written a book called Forbidden Tech we talked about. If you wanted to check out our book, that's forbiddentech.website. Mm-hmm. We make our own handmade products here in Morocco. We make them with these hands and we ship them all over the world. We've been doing that for several years now. You can check that out at ftwproject.com. And we run our own online engineering academy for the co-development of researching and building DIY off-grid energy devices. And you can check out our academy at cleanenergyacademy.com.
So I'll add that particular link into the description because I've only done the Free the World project link in there. So after the video is finished uploading, I'll do that. Guys, thank you so much for this. As I said, it's all so new. These are new topics, new research, things that, you know, doctors and experts are talking about. We've seen this stuff under the microscope, but for the most part, we still don't fully understand it. But this is why these conversations are so important, because then we can go and do further digging and, you know, other people can then do more research. If it turns out we're wrong, my goodness, I hope we are. I hope we're all wrong and I hope this stuff isn't in our bodies. But the fact is that there is more and more evidence to suggest that there is, and it lines up perfectly with their transhumanist agenda. We really thank you so much for your time, and I'll definitely be speaking with you again. Thank you to the audience, and please share this information with everyone. This is vital. Thank you as well for giving us hope that there is a way to get this out of our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Thank You're you welcome. So much. It's been a real honor.
Thank you, Maria.
And our prayers are always with the people in Australia. We spent some time there. Mm-hmm. We love your country. We love the people. And we just hope that everybody can take care of themselves.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night, everyone. I'll see you soon.